Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The sermon text for tonight is the Gospel reading, which I read just earlier. And I've chosen to title the sermon, Three Generous Widows, a Corrupt Religion and a Generous God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the depth of your generosity and your provision for us. Please help us to trust in you and make us to be your generous people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, tonight I'd like to introduce you to three of the most generous people that I've ever met. They happen to be widows. The first, their names are Margaret, Irene, and the lady from the Gospel reading tonight, the widow who threw those two small coins into the temple treasury. Let's call her Miriam. Might not be her real name, but it's as good a name as anyone. Margaret was a lady that I used to serve as pastor in the Nambour parish. She lived alone in a caravan park. She was one of the permanent residents of the caravan park because that's the only accommodation that she could afford. She was a pensioner, subsisting on the pension, which is about, I think at that time, it was about $300 a fortnight. Not very much to live on. But every month I used to go and visit Margaret and I would bring her Holy Communion. And Margaret's face would shine with the joy of the Lord as we shared the sacrament, as she heard the word of God, and she would always have her offering envelope for the church. And she would always give it to me and say, please put this into the church offering pastor. And one time I told Margaret that I was about to go to Uganda on a short-term mission trip. And Margaret gave a sum of money, and compared to her fortnightly income, it was a huge proportion of all that she was receiving in order to live on. And again, she said to me, Pastor, God gives me all I need. He has blessed me so much. He has blessed me so much. For me, meeting Margaret and getting to know her was a very humbling experience as one of Australia's poorer people was so incredibly generous and so incredibly grateful for all that God had done for her. The second lady is a lady that I met when I went to Uganda. Her name is Irene. She is also a widow. She was also a very poor person, living in a very poor country. As I worked with the church in Uganda and got to know Irene, who was one of the leaders of the church there, she was also incredibly generous with me. And she got to know that I liked G-nuts, the little red peanuts that are a common snack in Africa. They roast them and cover them in salt. And kind of, let me speak for myself. I loved popping them in my mouth and I could barely stop. They were kind of addictive. And one day, Irene, out of the little that she had, bought me a packet of G-nuts as a gift. Again, an incredibly humbling thing for someone who has unimaginably less material resources than me to be generous with me and to give me a gift like that. And I really do believe that that small bag of peanuts was probably the most generous gift that I've ever received. It almost brought me to tears. Irene was a wonderful woman of God who knew God's provision for her in the midst of her difficulties. Well, let's call her Miriam, shall we? This third widow, the one that Jesus looks at and sees and comments on her behaviour. In Mark chapter 12, reading from verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, what you need to know is that the temple treasury was a trumpet-shaped kind of receptacle. There were actually, I think, 12 of them around the temple. And so people would come and they would throw their coins, that was the only kind of money then, was coinage, into the temple treasury as they were about to worship. This was a free will offering. It was not required by the law. It wasn't the normal tithe that was collected in a separate way, and it wasn't the money that was required to buy the sacrifice, the sacrificial animals. And so it was very public. Everybody could see and hear how much money was going in to the temple treasury when people gave their offerings. The coins would clink into the trumpet-shaped coffers, and people would be able to listen and to see how much they were giving. Many rich people threw in large amounts. So they came along with big handfuls of cash and chucked it in. Maybe some of them did it ostentatiously. Maybe some of them did it quite humbly and without any thought of reward. But it was very obvious that they were giving large amounts. But a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. The two copper coins that are talked about here are the two smallest coins that were available in Judah at the time. They were the tiniest denomination of money that it's possible to find. In Australia, maybe think of the equivalent of a 1 and 2 cent piece, which aren't even in circulation as legal tender anymore. A tiny amount. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Miriam had given her last money as a freewill offering to the temple and to God's house at that time. What do Miriam and Margaret and Irene all have in common? These three generous widows. All of them completely and utterly trust in God. And we read it together responsively before, Psalm 146, verse 9. But let me just read that part of the Psalms again for you. Actually, in my daily reading of the Psalms, I was up to this on Thursday, and I thought, wow, that's an amazing thing that God has done. Psalm 146, I'll start reading from verse 7. "The Lord upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked." Miriam knew that God is the one who provides for her. God is the one who sustains the widow and the fatherless in a system where they have no income and no social security net, and probably, who knows, whether they had relations who were caring for them or not. Just a little bit earlier in Mark chapter 12 than our reading for tonight, Jesus says these words. One of the teachers of the law comes along and asks him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus replies in verse 29, "The most important one," says Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Margaret and Irene and Miriam are examples of people who know what it is to love God with all their heart, soul, and strength. Who know what it is to trust completely in God and not in themselves, because they don't have any resources. But what about us? Mark 12, verse 44, Jesus says about the other people, "They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." I wonder if often I don't give to God out of the stuff that's left over. Now, I'm not talking economically here. I'm not just talking about church offerings. I'm talking about my whole life. Yeah, God, you can have this bit and this bit, but I really want this bit, and it's mine, and I'm going to have it. I wonder how often I do that to God. How much time I waste, how much of God's precious time I use on useless stuff for myself, and give God the kind of the overflow. They all gave out of their wealth. They gave out of their abundance, their overflowing, Jesus says. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. You've probably heard this verse used many times in preaching as an exhortation that we should be sacrificial in our giving with God, that we should be really generous, that we should give like the widow. But I suggest that there's a problem with that interpretation. And the problem is that if we do that, if we say this verse is about generously giving to God, giving until it hurts, and you should give to the church like that, we're actually completely ignoring the context of what Jesus is saying here. So we go back a verse or two to the immediate context of what Jesus is saying. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." The religious leaders are the ones who are ripping off the widows, devouring their houses, taking their goods so that they can become rich. And they are the ones who have allowed this situation to happen when God has commanded his people throughout history to take care of the widows. How was it that this woman had come to the point of having nothing left? It was because of a corrupt religion. It was because of religious leaders who had extorted the poor and who perhaps had driven them to guilt in terms of what they were to offer to the temple. I just came across a blog this morning which kind of stopped me in my tracks, which was a commentary on this very verse. "The reality is," the writer says, "that the widow is never commended by Jesus. This, friends, is an assumption we have made about the text, especially in light of the fact that church giving is so esteemed among contemporary Christians, who often mistakenly equate the temple and church institutions." The story of a poor widow giving all she had to the temple treasury is not one of exemplary behaviour, but seen in its narrative context, it's one of disapproval. Just as Jesus is facing the temple in Mark 13, verse 3, as he begins to pass judgment on it, so too he is facing the temple treasury in the story of the widow. That is to say that Jesus is judging the temple treasury. But for what? The widow gave all she had, and as quoted before, perhaps she did not eat for days afterwards. This is not something to esteem. The temple treasury was meant to protect widows, given the numerous commands to such action in the Old Testament. But this ideal was not the case in reality. The temple has become an institution that, rather than protecting widows, exploited them, Jesus is not celebrating, he is lamenting. He is lamenting that it has come to this for one of God's people. So what's the answer to generous widows and a corrupt religion? The answer to the problem with our own half-heartedness in giving and to the system which can oppress people like this is found in a generous God. Because we worship and know a God who is not a taker but a giver. God who doesn't want your money but who wants to give you life in all its fullness. God who is willing to put everything on the line, just as that widow, let's call her Miriam, was willing to put everything on the line for the sake of her faith. Let's have a look at how incredibly generous God is with us. One of the great examples or passages of this in the New Testament is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, St. Paul writes this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Our Lord Jesus knew all of the treasures of heaven, the glorious existence at the right hand of the Father, and yet he gave all of that up. He threw in all that he had to come to our planet, to be incarnated, to walk the roads, to give his life. And in fact, Jesus was a person who said about himself, "I have nowhere to lay my head. I have no property, nothing that I can call my own. The only thing that he owned was a robe, one piece of clothing. And that was stripped from him just at the point where he went to give his life. Not just the last of his money, but his life for us. So that we, through his poverty, might become rich." Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Says this: I'll read from verse 31. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" God has thrown his 2 cents worth in. Much, much more. The most precious thing that God the Father had, his own son, he gave up for you and me, and for those corrupt temple officials, and for the widow who trusted completely in God, and for Margaret, and for Irene. Once we know the generosity of God, the questions that we ask are not going to be about how much should I give to the church, but what does this mean for us as a community? Because as people who know the marvelous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will become a generous community. As people who take seriously the sacrifice that God has given to us in Jesus, we will be a generous people. The question that remains for me as I read this story in the Gospel of Mark is, what happened to the widow? Let's call her Miriam. What happened to Miriam when she walked out of the temple? And the answer is, we don't know. But we do know what would have happened to Miriam after the resurrection of Jesus. If she had been part of the early Christian community, she would have been embraced by people who were generous givers, who saw no one go hungry, who saw no one be needy. This is what a generous community looks like. In the early chapters of the book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit is working after Pentecost, as the risen Lord Jesus is pouring out his grace upon his people, he forms, in response to God's own generosity, a generous community. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Acts chapter 4, verse 34 to 35. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as they had need. If Miriam had been in the Christian community after the resurrection of Jesus, she would not have been in the position where she had nothing left to live on, because she would have been embraced by a generous people, embraced into a community that knew the generous love of God, and that would give to everyone who had need. Three generous widows, a corrupt religion, and a generous God. Let us remember, as the core of the story and of what we believe, that the one who really gave it all is God, who gave his own Son for us, so that we might be redeemed, brought back to him, brought into community, and so that we too might be transformed into a generous community. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Thanks be to God. Amen.